Good morning, good afternoon, everyone. All the same, isn't it? So thank you for joining us. Thank you for taking some timelessness out of your busy day. And we generally savor the silence as a group together for 15 minutes at the start of each gathering. And just in your own way, really allowing everything to unwind. Nothing has to perform or be still, just total space. Here I am. Here we are. Thank you for sitting, resting, pausing, being. Satsang is such a wonderful confirmation of what is this unmoving presence, being with itself, honoring itself, not finding any distinctions between forms or functions or beings or maybe a quality we might have overlooked in silence and stillness is the abiding respect that animates everything, that honors everything equally. And so too, we are being taught, so to speak, from within by stillness in all of its different expressions. It's always just saying, be with me. Be with me while I return to my naturalness, or be with me while I see what is true. So thank you for feeding this return to naturalness in the human tribe by being that, and just opening the conversation up, this ancient, wonderful conversation. So if you like to speak or share, just press star 6, and then when it feels complete, star 6 again.
Hi, Pamela.
Hello.
It's Liz here in London.
Hello, dear.
Hi, dear.
I have to speak because I'm feeling very cross.
Mm.
I just had a very annoying conversation with my brother.
Yes.
And as you would say, a lot of protective services have arisen to protect me from feeling very annoyed by him.
Mm.
And we've been discussing a care problem that's arisen with looking after my mother, and briefly I wanted to do it a certain way. We had a disagreement. He wanted to do it another way. I agreed to do it his way, and having spent quite a lot of time doing it his way, we've now decided that it would have been better if we'd done it my way in the first place. But now I feel, having felt very calm, and my mother's care obviously is quite an emotional topic anyway, but I was feeling very calm and centered about it. I wasn't worried about it at all. But now I've got completely out of my belly with it, and I can't see the wood for the trees. I can't see now what is the right thing to do.
So there's a demand for satsang from within.
Yeah.
So just show up. You don't have to do anything. Just be here. And just honoring all the big worried love that's rising.
Yeah. Yeah, and the fear of not getting it right.
Mm-hmm. And that's also love and wanting the best for her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes when there would be a flurry inside, I would just say, almost like a song, thank you for your love. Thank you for your love.
Yeah, definitely feels, yeah, a bit of soothing is needed.
Mm-hmm. And help everyone within to notice that she's safe now.
Yeah.
There's no stress now.
Yeah. Thank you. That feels, yeah, it's calming down now. Mm-hmm. The thing is that I know that I can't work out the right thing to do in my head, which is what my brother was trying to do. And I'm just finding it very frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
And then miraculously, I didn't actually argue with him at the time. But,
it's the
concern of needing to get back into the belly with it and knowing that the right action will arise from there.
Wonderful.
Not
but
from
honor
the head.
The frustration, because the mind, the identified part of the mind is feeling its limitation.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and then we just honor the frustration because it's actually a healthy noticing on the mind's point of view.
Yeah, it feels better. There's still a little fist of fear in my chest.
And just let it be that you're in accord with it, that you love your mother and you want the best for her. Yes. We love her.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a bit of math, thank you.
Good. And keep reassuring within that she's safe.
Yeah. Yeah, she does feel very, very vulnerable now. I'll just work on that for a while.
Yeah, just to keep honoring it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if I know that she's safe, then the right action arises and, I'll feel okay about it.
Yes, the clarity, we often have to soothe within before clarity, the still small voice can be heard or noticed.
Yeah. Thank you. I'll sit with that for a bit.
Yes. Bowing to you and your mom.
Okay, thanks. Much love.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hello. Hello,
yes.
Pamela.
Hello.
It's Amandine.
Amandine, bienvenue.
Merci. I wanted to speak about the fact that I'm tired of being nice.
Yeah, lovely. Lovely to hear that.
And I don't know what to do because I feel it's like a prison, a cage.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to find freedom from that.
Well, first we have to honor that it was a survival strategy, yes?
Mm-hmm.
It was like a nice shield, wasn't it?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, so no one, A, could see who we really were, which is naturalness,
mm-hmm.
presence, but also it would placate them so they wouldn't kill us.
Mm.
Oh, la 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 la. So here we are. A lot of us did that one.
Yeah, it's heavy, very heavy.
Yeah, but thank it for protecting and veiling you.
Mm. Because I feel that if I'm not nice with people, they will hate me and I will feel rejected, and I'm afraid of receiving bad energy from others. So I feel I have to be nice and in many ways, and it's tiring. It's not what I want to do.
Yes. But, you know, the mind does the either-or.
Mm-hmm.
The mind sees a nice or not nice or whatever the opposite mm-hmm. would be. But let's look behind both of those, nice and not nice, or mean. In the English language, the opposite would be mean.
Mm-hmm. It's like there's a big brick wall or big wall. I can't see through anything.
Yes. And thank the wall for protecting.
Mm-hmm. It's lighter.
And if it resonates, some gratitude for that.
It feels like I have a necklace of iron around my neck.
Yes, yes. And just ask it what its function is, the necklace of iron.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it should prevent me from being hurt.
Uh-huh, yes. I'm just thanking that for no reason or any reason.
She's lighter.
Mm-hmm. And just maybe looking behind being hurt or hurting others.
Because
mm-hmm. we have an aversion to both sides, which is why we get sort of stuck in some of these behaviors like the NICE program.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So just reassuring everyone, no need to be hurt or to hurt others.
Yeah, it feels like hurting others for the protection to keep safe.
Yes, yes. And just tell everyone inside, we don't want to do either of those. No,
mm-hmm.
thank you. No, thank you. No need.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it ran. It was an automatic program. It was
yes.
running on automatically, and I guess I hurt people, and I didn't want to, but just to stay safe.
Yes, yes. Yeah, that was part of the role play.
Yeah, but I don't do that anymore.
No. So it's a very deep polarity that you're aware of, and I'm really grateful and honoring you for that. So it's
mm-hmm.
neither harming nor being harmed, neither being harmless or harmful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just really bowing to that and confirming it.
It makes me feel, it makes me understand others who hurt me as well.
Yes, yes.
So clear, it gets clearer now. I judge them harshly, but I know I've hurt others too, you know.
Yeah.
So.
And just bowing to that.
Mm-hmm.
So presence doesn't need any of these survival strategies because when it uncontains itself, it's very immense energetically while being transparent and, for the most part, unseen.
Mm-hmm.
People feel safe around natural presence, and there's a respect without even awareness of its strength. Very, you know, harmless isn't the right word. It's benevolent, but also very big. And so it doesn't have to do a lot, as you know, a lot of the extra, you know, physical gesturing, or, you know, it can just nod its head to people or have
mm-hmm.
warm eyes. Would that be all right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So just uncontaining presence in this moment, just letting it get really, really big. When it uncontains itself, it dissolves a lot of the survival strategies and a lot of the smaller protections and misunderstandings.
I feel my heart is expanding. And I want to live that way. I don't want to protect myself from the world, from others.
Yes,
it's tiring. And, yeah, I don't want to say prayers of protection all the time. And
mm-hmm.
I want to feel I can live freely without doing all this.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But that's so beautiful that we have a longing to return to our naturalness, to that freedom. And in the belly, is there any protection left? And either way is fine.
No, in the belly, it hurts. It hurt before I spoke, and in the last few days. Now it's okay.
Oh, good. And ask the belly also to energetically uncontain itself and root.
Talking about the belly, I had another noticing that happened last week. I wanted to talk about this quickly.
Yes.
I feel that when I speak with people or when I see people, I am like a radio. I tune in with them, so I will feel their vibration, and I don't realize it. I do it unconsciously. I don't know how it happens, but sometimes I can. All my energy will go to that person and I will be empty. I won't realize it right now, but the day after I will be totally empty and without energy. And I don't want, it comes back to the protection mechanism. I don't want to protect myself from others who may need some of my energy. But I don't know how it happens, this energy transfer, but it's, I know last week it happened to me and I felt like there was no energy in my belly. Everything was gone, and it was scary, and it made me feel angry. And because it's life, my life force, and it was all gone. And I felt, how can I live like this if people steal my energy? Or I don't know how it happens.
Yes. So just reassure everyone that you're safe.
Mhm. Mhm.
A few more times, just reassuring, we're safe, we're safe, there's no threat. And can you feel any trace of that empty feeling in you now?
No.
Okay. But let's welcome it a little bit.
Okay.
It's not just what it appears to be. Yes, there was a blessing that happened spontaneously. And then that sense of fullness of presence apparently changed. So just welcome, find your own words for what would describe that experience, that feeling.
And the feeling of being empty in the
stomach. Being empty, but in a icky way. Not nice way. Yeah, and just bring it here.
Okay. Sounds very comfortable.
And see what it needs. Just like it's coming to your satsang. What does it need? Because it's uncomfortable.
Just wants to feel safe everywhere with everyone, without feeling the need to be to protect with layers of prayers and things and stones and everything.
And just agree with that. Yes. And ask it who it really is.
Yeah, the tummy, you mean?
Yeah, to that feeling.
The feeling, yeah.
Or what service it's trying to give you, or whatever you're curious about.
I'm not quite sure. I think he just wants to be good to others and be at peace. I don't know much more.
Yes. But honor then it as presence, yeah, as naturalness. And let it know it can have that, because it has some idea. If it gives a gift, it pays a price.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So let it know it doesn't have to pay a price.
Yeah, I guess I need to hear that. To be sure that I don't have to retreat in a cave to be safe.
That's right.
Yeah,
this is here, just another layer of worried love for you as presence, as innocent naturalness, and just thanking it. No. We can retreat, have natural retreats, but we don't have to live in the cave.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. The presence agrees too.
So let's call forth its, just to complete with, its natural stamina.
Yeah, it needs the strength.
Yeah, so it's just natural strength and resilience are welcome here. It's already there, but it's overlooked it because it was identified with sensitivity and receptivity and vulnerability and innocence. So natural strength and resilience are welcome here.
It's like they are grounding inside me.
And just thank you. Welcome.
So they will be there, or I have to call upon these strengths and presence when I need it? Or?
Well, it's always there. Can you feel it's what's carrying and holding the sensitivity?
I feel everything in my tummy and the heart. It's it feels full and full of energy and a full field. I don't know how to say.
Yes. And now consciousness is like the ocean, so it comes up on the beach, that's the fullness. But sometimes it does like to retreat, so that we're giving it its freedom. Yeah. But it's more what's exhausting is the performing, the old role play habits. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what you called the nice, being nice. That's
yes.
really debilitating.
Yeah.
And then the fear of the, the blessing being given and the, the chi or the energy being lost.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's unbearable, this idea that all the life force is gone, and how do I live if I have no life force? I can barely function if I don't have
it. I know, but you see, it's a trick also. There's a bit of a trick in the mind to get you back to your cave. You see? This is why, some sages, even sages believe their minds once in a while, regularly. And it's just so convincing. Oh, my God, I can't be around people. Oh, no.
So it's a double-edged, because I don't want to reject people because of this.
Yes. But that's why you stay with this until it's really liberated. Because otherwise, we're still being protected by conditioning and separation and, hiding, mm-hmm. really. For me, it was hiding, yeah. Good.
Thank you.
Oh, yes. And there'll be more, so just keep staying with it.
Yeah, I will.
Oh, parfait.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Much love.
See you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hello, Pamela?
Yes.
Hi, this is Drew Ann.
Hi, Drew Ann.
Hello. So, I'm so grateful for what just transpired in that satsang with this woman. About 3 or 4 weeks ago, there was this spontaneous expansion through my heart, and I held it in its kind of bigness for a while, and then the mind came in. And I found this kind of, I don't know if it was a spontaneous dedication or if it was my mind, it's probably both, with this claiming of love and claiming that I want love. And then the mind really came in with, I'm not going to take any more consolations in terms of choosing security over love.
Mm-hmm.
And, it felt so strong, and it felt so... authentic. And then, of course, the mind came in with, holy shit. No, excuse me.
So, oh, we don't mind. We've heard that word before.
So then it came in with, everything that isn't loved is going to come home.
Oh, okay. But not all at once.
Well, it's been a tsunami.
Ooh la la. Okay.
I suppose because, there was this intense yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so strong and... true in the moment. so out of that came this these new recognitions in terms of speaking, speaking and acting. Requesting what would benefit me, what I want, specifically in a relationship, in a intimate partnership, and so that in itself is was a shift, and the other person is collapsing out of the relationship, and so right now there's this flip-flop between the capacity to hold that and then the collapse into all of the fear and disappointment and the pervading kind of loose and worried but concerned and kind of innocent question is because I can see the past all wrapped up in this, does it have to does it have to play out?
No, not at all. To get its freedom? If we could scroll backwards, I think where the misunderstanding was in the having to hold it. So you have a polarity, either having to hold it or collapsing back into the old protection. Does that resonate at all?
Yes, and then there's times of just natural being where it's okay.
That's it, yes. So can you just bless that polarity? Because as you said, the mind came in and the conditioning wanted to help you live this. And that's where it got messed up. It also wanted you, the mind will always like you to speak and demand and everything. And presence most of the time doesn't need to do that. Because it's shifted within, and then the world shifts in response to that, including partners and... But the mind does like to talk and process and all that sort of thing.
Incessantly.
Oh, my goodness. So just thank everybody inside, just the universal gratitude blessing. They were trying to, once again, the conditioning got in there trying to give the unconditioned what it already is, and that's where the mess came in.
Okay, so break that down a little bit for me. I mean, I can sense you're right, but my mind can't grab it, which maybe is a good thing, but...
Thank the mind. Thank the mind. It wanted to fulfill your desire to be nourished and honored.
Well, and the polarity in that is I usually don't say my desires. I usually just merge along, and there's no voice for me.
Oh, okay. So then it was balancing that way by giving you a voice.
Yes, and that sends the confusion of, it ties back the loop of the confusion of, if I claimed it, where is it?
Okay. So now, see, once again, see, the mind always wants to bring the doing into the being. So it
yes.
wants you to claim it, and yet you already are it.
Yes.
Yeah, so just say no claiming, no not claiming. Just somehow kind of stroke that.
Okay, I can't feel that relaxing.
No need to claim it. I am that.
I couldn't quite hear you.
Yeah, no need to claim it. I am that. It's like an elephant wouldn't need to claim being an elephant.
Yes.
Now, even though in your apparent role play you weren't speaking up for yourself, reassure everyone it doesn't ever have to speak a word and it can still have all the nourishment, all the love, all the respect, all the cherishment, because that'll relax it. Because it's going into doing to get what it wants.
Yeah.
And that'll freak everyone out.
Well, and it flips back into this is the same as before. It is going to play out the same, and then there's the it's like a disorientation.
Mm-hmm.
It's
yeah, but it, just like Almandine earlier, you've hit a main program. Yeah, so we're just thanking it. So it doesn't have to play out. No need for it to play out. The mind sometimes seeks resolution. I once asked the mind, why do you keep recreating these situations? And it said very honestly and very innocently, it said, I'm hoping for a positive outcome this time.
That's the truth.
And it was just so honest. It was, you know, millions of years ago, oh, it didn't work that way, so let me try it this way. But what it's looking for is what presence, wherever it goes, receives. But presence itself...
Wait, I didn't catch that.
Yeah, so the mind is trying to give us, as persons almost, what presence already has, and what presence receives wherever it goes. Wherever it goes, presence is seen, but in a relaxed way, nothing dramatic, and honored. The other day I was zipping along the Golden Gate Bridge in the afternoon, and usually there's this sort of river of humanity that's, you know, enjoying the view and enjoying being on the bridge and everything. And it goes by kind of like a blur, even though you're not driving very fast. But all of a sudden, presence totally locked into these two people. Before it even saw what they were wearing or what they looked like, and there were two monks, I don't know from where, but presence instantly, you know what I mean? And there was a deep inner bow inside as I zipped along, enjoying their enjoyment of the bridge. So that's kind of, at this point, what the mind wants to now give you as love, as innocence, as presence, that immediate respect, that cherishing, all your wishes being fulfilled. But we really don't want the mind gifting us all that. There's no need. Does that resonate?
Yes. So it's trying the do-over in its innocence. It's still trying to do.
Yes. And all there's a kind of relaxation that happens inside in this natural allowing and in this natural honoring of who you are as a unique embodiment of the One. It's like finally it notices its own preciousness, its own unshakable value, and it bows to itself. And then the spell is broken of the love that comes and goes, of the respect that comes and goes, of the... Would that be all right? Because that's your longing.
That's really the longing. And the experience I have when I sense, really sense and center in is empty fullness.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, the shell, I just assumed the shell would, the desire for the recognition of the shell would dissipate.
Yeah, but there's a love, you know, there's a young girl in France who said it so beautifully. She said, I long to be seen while unseen.
Yes.
This is also presence, embodied presence is longing. So, but it wants you, the vastness, to honor it. So this is where the spell is broken, when we honor ourselves, when we give to ourselves, then the circle is unbroken, just for a moment. And it's not like forever, oh my God, now I have to honor myself all the time. And rah. It's like a deep bow to the sparkling being within. It's like, oh.
Yeah, there's a complete kind of, I don't know, electrification. Like running through my skin, and the confusion was really around embodiment, the unique embodiment. The assumption was that has to be annihilated. That
no,
has
no,
to
no.
Go.
Oh, no wonder everybody was upset inside. Uniqueness.
Yeah.
I mean, doesn't presence adore uniqueness? I mean, my God, look at all the flowers and the dogs and cats and the galaxies and... There's no destruction. There's a lot of shape-shifting. But where could anything go?
There's a really deep kind of joy emerging out of that, and a... scattering here of these, you know, false vessels, these false identifications of what was lovable and what's not.
Very good. Now say 100 thank yous, because it did it all itself, right? It self-adjusts as soon as it notices the deeper truth. So all we can say is thank you, thank you, thank you.
What happens when this reconfigures?
Okay, now do you see the mischief in that thought?
Yes.
Oh, ho, ho, what a genius. We're dealing with a chess master. Not that I know anything about chess. But just bow to the mind going, oh, honey, that was good. You almost snuck that by us.
So how do I incorporate?
Yeah, but okay, now bow to that thought, because that's doing again. How do I do being?
How do I do fear? That's because the allegiance was with fearful thoughts. How do I?
Yeah, but just stroke it. Don't. It's trying to figure its way back to freedom.
Yes.
Just stroke it. Go, honey, you are already free. You couldn't be such a mischievous genius if you weren't. Just bowing to the mind, including the mind also as presence, as pure intelligence. But it was just given a different job. A job, I must say, it doesn't like anymore.
So other than bowing, what job can it have?
Well, ask the mind to spread its wings now. Just to expand, explore its breadth, its natural freedom. Is it relaxing open, and either way is fine?
It's very open and very still. And
Now tell it how gorgeous it is, or just do a full prostration. Like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, I was trying to get rid of you. Beyond beautiful. Here is pure, sparkling intelligence, completely unlimited, unconditioned, uncontained.
Yeah, it's this unimaginable vastness.
Ooh. And ask it if it notices it hasn't lost anything of value when it relaxes open. Because in school, it got in trouble for doing that.
Yeah, there's a recognition of the competencies still there.
Gorgeous, very practical, creative.
In this immersion.
So really the highest truth, so to speak, or the simplest truth, is it's neither free nor bound. Just is what it is, pure, unconditioned, sparkling intelligence, absolutely silent and empty, No trace of the past or any tendencies or protections.
Yeah, it's just free.
Woo! Now, here I had to occasionally, out of worried love, the mind would contract again and sort of sit on my shoulder and go, oh my God, oh no, oh no. And I'd have to, you know, just show it its naturalness again in a very respectful, patient way. And once in a while, it still worries about something. But it's seen now as devotional worry. And I help it discern, and we all go back to natural being. So now bow to your partner, if they're an ex-partner or a partner. Just bow a few times. Really honoring their natural presence behind the conditioning. And needless to say, the eternal satsang continues, right?
Yes.
Very nice.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you, love. Thank you for being so steady with all of that. Constant.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. And deep gratitude, Pamela. Thank you.
Hello, Pamela.
Uh-huh.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. I wanted to give a report about something very interesting, ongoing satsang. I was doing satsang recently and started to discover that there's something inside that gets pleasure from mischief making,
mm-hmm.
you know, causing suffering, causing some dramas inside, outside, in other words, outward towards other people.
Yeah.
And all kinds of interesting combos. And so I said, you know, well, who are you that you would actually sort of laugh and feel this physiological pleasure, because it felt kind of masochistic. And the answer that came back was that life is absurd. It's all ridiculous. I don't want to take it all so seriously. So I want to laugh at it all. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. And so in your fashion, I've learned from you. So who are you, you know, before that? So, and I got that there was just a simple desire for pleasure and laughter, you know, period, I suppose. I mean, I could see how, yes, things feel very serious on the surface of life, you know, with money or finances or jobs or people. And there's just something that, I guess it's just tired, or it was like cackling hysterically at all.
I like that, cackling.
I know, like a little gnome inside that had a stick, a little, you know, prickle on it. Like, ooh, we're going to jab this and jab that, and then we're going to laugh, laugh, laugh.
Yeah, but there's a a little hurt anger in there. Like that little gnome got hurt, and so this is its way of kind of getting back. And it's not personal to you. It has that little cynical rejection thing going, and it's not yours at all, so I'm not saying anything about you there.
Right, yeah.
But just ask it if it's deeply, truly content, satisfied, and I dare to say happy.
Mm-hmm.
Just see if that... I love this gnome.
I know. No. You're right. It's hurting. It's very tired. Very tired. And I think it really does want to laugh, but it's tired.
Yeah.
And
it does hurt. Yeah. It's almost as if that little thing it came up with is like its shield.
Yeah,
and just comfort it a bit and just say, yeah, that doesn't sound fun, or whatever, how you would speak to it or just hold it as presence. Mm.
Hmm. Yeah, I get this feeling that it's really actually sort of lying flat on its back and it's poking stick into the...
Yeah, and just let it know you're here. It's an honor to be with it. And how would it like you to be with it? It would know best.
Well, there's gratitude already that we're sitting here having a conversation. And it's grateful that it can be seen. But yes, it's tired, flat on its back, flailing around. You know, I suppose it just wants soothing.
Mm-hmm.
Like everything, it wants soothing.
Yeah. And if it had no history and it never had met with harshness or disrespect, how would it like to live? What is its longing?
Well, it really does like to laugh, that's for sure.
Yeah. Just yes.
Yeah. And I can see its point of view about the absurdity. You know, I think there's a part of me that it's sort of like, you know, how people enjoy the comedy of Monty Python and...
Mm-hmm.
Things that are really absurd and silly, and you turn them on their heads, and I can see why there is a sort of innocence in that.
Yes, no, it has a lot of clear seeing, this one. Yeah. Tell it you're right. Most of it in the humanness, at least half, is absurd. Just tell it you're right.
You know what I'm getting too? It's saying, I wish I could rest, but the body needs this pleasure. Oh. So, the body, it seems to be saying, pleasure is needed.
Yes. But physical. True satisfying pleasure as well. Okay, so it wants physical pleasure.
Yes.
So it's creating drama and tension and... It was.
Yeah. I think it relates to the last satsang that we did. I think we were talking about when things get extreme, like if there's extreme suffering, then the balancing functions move towards pleasure.
Definitely, to placate the frustration, yeah.
That's what I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm.
There's some kind of...
But ask it what its pleasure is, the one that doesn't come or go. What is its passion? Because it's somehow feeling frustrated that it can't have that, so it's going for these sort of mildly perverse pleasures of drama and chaos. And
yeah. And you're asking the one that doesn't come and go?
Ask it, what's its passion that doesn't come or go? What is its deepest passion?
Well, I think, I don't know if it's the sage that's answering or if it's the gnome, but or maybe they've merged.
Yeah, they're both the same.
Yeah, I think they might have merged here a little bit, because there's a sense of the deepest pleasure that doesn't come and go is there's some, you know how sometimes when there's clear seeing and you just look out onto the world and things can make you feel delighted or chuckle or laugh and you don't even say?
Mm-hmm.
You look at the sky and it makes you laugh, and you look at a, I don't know, you look at it,
it can make you laugh. Joy.
So it's, I think it's clear seeing itself sometimes just laughs.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be the bit that doesn't come and go.
Okay. So honor it as the embodiment of natural joy. Just really let it know you are welcome here. I agree. Whatever words resonate for you, but honoring that's its gift.
Yes, I can see that.
And how would it like to be fed or nourished? Because sometimes what I call divine frustration wants to uncontain our field and bring a freshness back into the life, because in role play it all gets kind of parched and plasticized. So ask it how to nourish you. What does it have any clues about that for you?
As natural joy, right? As embodied joy?
Well, just to this, where, it still might be wearing its gnome costume. So it's neither human nor divine. It's something much more natural than that.
Well, the first thing I got and my head was just go outside more. The word fresh really.
Say yes to fresh. That. Yes.
Like springtime and buds and fresh. Yes.
Yes. And you can check in with it every day. It's our naturalness. It's our really core naturalness. So you can actually ask it every day what it wants to do and what it wants to wear and what it wants to eat. Because it really brings a freshness to the life.
Yeah. Yeah,
even
huge.
Our ideas of what freedom is are still limited by tribal ideas.
Yeah. Yeah, and I like what you're saying. It's sort of commonsensical. What do you want to eat? What do you want to do today? How is it?
That's,
you know?
Right. It's like, okay, what you want to do today?
Yeah. And that's very doable.
Oh yeah, and it's also respectful because we're honoring this remarkable being that we are, that is. And just giving it our attention. I mean, I don't know about you. It's Julie, right?
Bev.
But to me, before, as Pamela, I was giving all my attention to the mind. I mean, it almost had my obedience, my attention, my devotion. And now, here, it's sort of like, oh, here's natural presence. And we're going, okay. I'm going to give you my full attention now. Now that it's a circle, unbroken.
Yeah. Boy, that rang a bell. Sometimes I don't realize how much full attention I've given to the mind, even, you know, in a positive way, versus, okay, presence, what's going on?
Yeah, there you go. Let's go out and play. Let's be creative. Let's explore.
Yeah.
Let's just go outside. Oh.
Yeah.
Very nice. That's why it had to keep making trouble, because we as a tribe weren't listening.
Yeah. Very good. Thank you. That's very good.
Thank you, dear. Thank
Namaste.
You for being with that
yes.
mysterious friend.
Yes.
Wearing the gnome costume.
Oh, big love, big love.
Thank you, dear. And to you.
See you soon.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, Pamela?
Yes.
Charlie.
Hey, Charlie.
I'm very agitated. Actually, I was lying in bed and listening with this in the ear pod in my right ear. And that was really agitating me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was bringing up all my issues, which... Basically, it is listening to what's been going on. Yes, I've been this nice boy that has been paralyzed. So I'm not taking care of the easy things of, taking care of my body. There's a point, there's something in me that have said no.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like this little polite, like the other day I was at this beautiful communal theater thing, which was magical, childlike beauty, and 50 people just being in this wonderful, delightful place without it being sort of a spiritual. And afterwards, you had to go up a big flight of stairs where the bathroom was and where this communal space was. I gave up. I did it once. I couldn't do it. There's a way that I'm not taking care of my body that is, and I'm not living.
Okay, but Charlie?
Yep.
You know, this has been something you've noticed for quite some time, and it's become a belief. First, it was a habit, And then on top of that, there's a belief. So all you have to do is every day just do something to take care of the body.
But I don't. There's a game I'm playing. So I eat good food, you know, and I stay away from, you know, but it's sort of like it's not being genuinely 100% taking care of myself.
Yeah, but I don't think anybody on the call does that. But because what's happened is it's not up to the role to take care of the body, nor is it up to the mind to take care of the body. Because the deepest truth, and I know you know that, is that life is taking care of its own body and is happy to do that. So could you allow life to take wonderful care of that body and make it move and do everything? Would that be okay?
I don't understand that.
But wait, Charlie, before you say anything, the I does not understand because the I feels it's the doer. And the I is always confessing that it doesn't take care of that body. So I'm just wondering if we could tell the I it doesn't have to take care of the body since it's already confessed it's not good at that. And that we're going to let life do it. And presence, you.
I don't know, Pamela. One thing that also gets me is that I have a different way of thinking of, you talked about apps and mind whatever you say when there's a certain sort of good seeing, you know, you see something as opposed to the mind or the app, and it's confusing, or maybe it's just it seems like it's, one is still using some capacity to discriminate and discern that there's difference between the apps and abiding in stillness. It's the serious dysfunction. There's a way of feeling I have, you know, there's very little that is being done for myself.
That's
very
okay, but Charlie, just decide every day to do one or two things for yourself out of character. See, your character has collapsed in a good way. It's
in some ways, I mean, but
if you say yes, it'll sneak in without the mind noticing. Could you allow life, presence, naturalness to take care of that body better? Just say yes really fast before thought tells me why it can't.
Yes. But there's a deep-seated, I think that's what I was talking about killing the other last time we spoke, that there's this deep-seated, okay, this is nice, Charlie. I bumped into someone from Satsang yesterday at a supermarket, and we talked, and it was this nice, and there was a nice rapport, but there's this, underneath it all, there's this deep killer that's turned itself against itself.
Yes, but it's called doubt, and it's very accurate. What you're noticing is that the I thought, when there is a promise, and this is not Shakespeare or Drama. When there is a promise of total freedom, sometimes the I thought wants to take the body out, meaning let it subside, so that total freedom doesn't happen. It can postpone it till the next round. But just if you bow to that, what you're calling the killer, it diffuses everything. Everything's animated by presence.
It does, and then it's like then there's the pitfall that the next second wants to get revenge. There's a lot about revenge and getting back being hurt.
I know, but this is all a trick.
The woman that spoke about the iron necklace. There's a thing called the iron defense, which is when one just becomes totally iron to protect the vulnerability.
Yes.
I know that, but there is, and I'm certainly, but there is definitely a feeling of consciously not sitting down and doing exercise or going to the Y. Or,
yeah, but a lot of us have joined you in that. You know, I would suggest to look at the problem factory in the head, because its main job is to postpone naturalness or natural being. There was this story of this little boy with his mom driving from Santa Fe to Albuquerque, and I think he was 5 or something, and there's a factory on the way, and I haven't a clue what it manufactures. But there's all these lovely billowing clouds that come out of this factory. And the little boy said to his mama, he said, "Look, mama, a cloud factory." So that problem, identifying a problem, that served you in the past. It's part of your work you do, I know. But I'm just noticing that the cloud factory is postponing you doing anything, because you have to work on the cloud before you can take care of your body. And a lot of us fell into that. It's a very strong spiritual programming, a misunderstanding about the body, and a postponement of naturalness. So just anytime the mind comes up with a problem, I suggest you don't touch the content, but notice it's just the problem app. I have a problem. Because from there, the behavior just emerges.
I guess maybe it's my extreme chaos in my think the ability to go to the computer and do something constructive, and I get lost and I
that's a problem.
Yeah. Or then
your energy dips. Can you notice that? The mind is always telling you what's deficient.
And then I soothingly seek the infinite amount of beautiful music that's on the tube.
Gorgeous. Very wise.
But that's then it's 2 hours later, and I said, letting the body just do what it needs to do. It doesn't need to be
Yeah, we just have to liberate that brilliant mind of yours, my dear. Your body is fine.
I'll tell you something. I actually went to something last night, which was free because they give it to poor seniors. There was a play. The play was really 8 people running their apps, and it was a beautifully written play. And I said, I'm not going to like the acting. I'm just going to listen to the words. And it was interesting because I heard that there were certain points of punchlines when people were making clever comments that didn't work because the timing was off.
Mm-hmm.
But I I was in heaven the rest of the day, and I even wrote a little note. I was just, there was a way of having clear thinking without getting without the judging or something. It was something, but then still, I was in a very peaceful state.
Wonderful. See, so you're nourishing yourself with all this creativity.
Well, no, this
so now, wait, stop for a second, Charlie, and then you're just going to nourish your body with a little bit more movement. And you just start that every day. Just a little bit, even 5 minutes of movement.
I have to say, there's this little child, and there's this 73-year-old body that it's hard to even get up from sitting in a chair. And there's this whimpering little child.
Yes, it wants to be taken care of and supported. And it wants somebody outside to do that. And just say yes to that.
Right. I have to say, the punchline to the whole play was this little teacher was working with the student, and he's from this little old-fashioned cassette message machine. He's saying this: the student has an idea for this science fiction paper he's writing, and what it is we've gone to the seven universes. And we found that there's no life out there, so we have to come back here and do and fulfill our own potential.
Mm-hmm.
It was a beautiful sort of, better than seeking outside, but like you're telling me, to just take the little steps and take action.
Okay. Good idea. So we're going to close the satsang now, Charlie, but maybe I'll see you later in Berkeley.
Maybe, yeah. Okay, sorry to take such time, satsang.
No, that's all right. That was good. We were all noticing about how we are with our bodies. So I'm going to return the satsang, thank you, to our dear friend Dao. And thanking also East Bay Open Circle for being so giving in its constancy. And thank you, Dao.
Thank you, Pamela. And thank you, everyone, for coming together like this. And I want to let everyone know that our next Satsang Gatherings with Pamela will be on May 17th and May 31st. I'm looking forward to being together again then. And right now I invite everyone to unmute ourselves so we can say farewell together. So we can all just press star 6. And best to use your handset when you do that if you're using a telephone. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Pamela.
Thank you, Pamela. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Pamela. God bless you all.
Everybody.
Thank you, Pamela.
Thank you, Pamela.
Everyone. Thank you, Pamela.
Thank you,
everybody.
Thank you all.
Thank you, Pamela. Much love.
Thank you, Pamela. Thank you, everybody.
Mm-hmm. Mm.